This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And on this 20th day of February, here's Tim Mize, Dave Jenkins, and Kay Hirsch, Kyle Hirschman, joining us in studio. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, T-Tote. How goes it?
It's spring.
Yes, it is.
Just for one more day, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe two.
And pitchers and catchers have reported.
Yes, it really is spring.
About 75 yesterday.
2 weeks from today, Cardinal baseball starts on AM 1540 and 106.9 FM, where we're going to have all 162 games this year.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So. That's good.
Yeah, it is awesome.
That is good stuff. It'll be an interesting baseball season, to say the least.
Oh, yeah.
Looking forward to it.
Yes, yes, yes. There's a lot of things that could happen and a lot of things that are not going to happen. And I'll keep those tucked away until we get closer to the end of the season.
That's right. We'll see if the Cardinals can take down the 27 Yankees. It'll be a heck of a ride. I saw something yesterday.
It's murderer's row all over again.
Has nothing to do with actual on-field baseball. But I guess the Pirates on Sunday home games are going to be wearing the 1979 throwbacks.
That's fantastic.
Oh, really?
Gold jerseys, black pants with the striped black hats.
With the stovepipe.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
Sunday home games.
Wow.
I love it.
That's excellent. Okay. Excellent. A lot of the throwback uniforms, I think, get overdone, you know, just for marketing to sell jerseys. Some of them are really
cool. Those are iconic.
Those are iconic.
I know. I thought the hats looked stupid.
They looked stupid then, but now they're vintage.
I think they still look stupid, but that's just me, so. That's just me. Then again, I don't wear hats, so what the heck. So,
yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Now, see, the Cardinals' alternate uniforms on Sunday are Saturday home games.
Saturday.
I dig those they've with got the piping.
Well, they've got the different.
It says St. Louis.
Louis, yeah.
Right. Yeah, for home games. So.
I think
and blue caps on Sunday, right?
Yeah, blue caps on Sunday. I think it would add to those Saturday uniforms just a little bit if they wore the Sunday alternate on Saturday. Because you would have basically the look of the 1940s with the blue hat, red bill. With
see, I think any time that a Major League Baseball team wears the alternate throwback replica jersey, prices on the concession stands in that stadium should be what they were in that year.
Sounds like we've got a cable fashion show going here.
It does.
Well, I think you ought to be wearing this, I ought to be wearing that. Where's Heidi Klum?
Is Heidi's here?
I don't know.
Don't tease, Barry.
I think we ought to get Heidi Klum in here. On Sports Saturday.
Well, that would be a program.
Yeah.
It would be.
We'll settle for Kyle. How about that?
I am known as...
Now, Kyle, when's the last time you were put in the same sentence as Heidi Klum?
It happens more often than you'd think. I am known as the Heidi Klum of Central Illinois.
There it is.
I tell you what. You know that moniker is going to stay with you now.
I can't wait.
For a long, long time.
I'm looking forward to it.
Because from now on, we're going to introduce you as Kyle Hirschman, the Heidi Klum of... Mid-Illinois.
Hey, I've been called much, much worse. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
We're happy to have Kyle in studio today. He's going to get us caught up on the state wrestling tournament and some good happenings.
Yeah, Litchfield came up. They had three wrestlers, Bailey Powell at 106, Cam Lee at 113, and Colin Davidson at 120. They won their first two matches. Or two of them won their first match with Cam Lee and Colin Davidson. Bailey Powell lost a close 5-3 decision. They didn't have as good of a day yesterday. Both Cam and Colin lost their first match, and Colin lost his first match in the wrestleback, so his day was done. But Brian Lee told me that Colin had a 104 degree temperature on Monday, so and had just been back to school on Wednesday for the first time that week, and he did not sound like the picture of health. So you know, I mean, there's a lot of sports that you can kind of play through that. It wrestling doesn't seem to be one. I mean, you really need to be in your top.
You need your faculties with
you. Yeah, you need your top physical form. You need, you know, need all your wind, you know, and all that. So
especially since it's an individual sport.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and it's so intense for such a short amount of time. You've got to give it 100% for the whole 3 minutes. In, or
104.
That's
substantial.
Near danger levels,
that's,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And like I said, he was doing, seemed to be doing better. Like I said, he, you know, obviously – you know, this is his sport's biggest stage, so he wanted to go there. You know, you weren't going to be able to keep him off, and he did go to school on Wednesday, so, you know, he was doing a little bit better. Cam Lee should be wrestling soon, if not on the mat already. it looks like.
Cam, of course, the son of head coach Brian Lee.
Yeah, and he had a tough draw. It looks like he's going to end up getting beaten by a senior from Rockford Lutheran named mm-hmm. Luke Wallace.
Is Cam a freshman or is he a sophomore?
Cam is a freshman. It feels like Cam's been around mm-hmm. Forever just because he's been around the program forever. Mm-hmm. I remember him wrestling kids, you know, whenever he was in fifth grade, you know. But like I said, it looks like he's going to bow out of the tournament, and barring a last-minute pin. But like, still, a really good tournament. They're extreme. Litchfield is extremely young, so they only had two seniors this year, Isaac Shade and Victor Kaleher. Victor had some health problems and wasn't able to wrestle in the postseason, or else he probably would have been up there too. So, good young program and definitely on the rise.
And no surprise that a Davidson made it to the state championship.
Exactly.
Or state tournament.
It's they seem to have a tendency to do that. Yeah. So, but you know, there's a lot of good wrestlers out of Central Illinois coming. I know at least one Auburn wrestler, Peyton Hudspeth, is up there. I believe he made it to the semifinals, if not he may be in the championship now. Porta's always has some good talent going, and same with Vandalia too. So.
And before we had, that was a live Twitter update.
Yeah,
that was
live.
That just happened.
Yeah. Track wrestling. So yeah, but yeah, it like I said, I mean, they do a lot of good things at the state tournament level. It's a good experience. I went up Thursday for the prelims. Now that they do it like by class, I had the guys in the first three classes, so I drove. I got up there at 1 o'clock and was done by 1:25. But you know,
and Kyle, just for people to understand, the state wrestling tournament is kind of like the state track meet, where they
exactly.
do the class 1A on the first day on a Thursday, and then do the everybody else on the next 2 days.
Yeah, well, and it's a little different just because they do. I think they do 1A from 1 to 3,
mm-hmm.
and then they do 2A from like 3 to 5. And then 3A finishes the night up, and then they go the next day is kind of the wrestlebacks and some of the quarters, the second round matches and some of those things. So they kind of have it separated out until Saturday. Like today they were doing 1, 2, and 3A. They each have two mats. So it's definitely an interesting tournament. You get to see a lot of different socioeconomic, you know, backgrounds, and I mean different schools and things like that. So it's really a cool deal.
And the crown jewel for the IHSA in terms of their state series, generally the football championship, and then of course the basketball tournament. But Kyle, you were saying that the state wrestling championship, it really takes a back seat to nothing in terms of the production.
Production for the grand march at Saturday night, they'll be doing it you know, tonight with the championship matches, and it's the best thing in high school sports. They have a really nice video that they show on the big screen at the assembly hall. All the lights go out. You know, it's full Chicago Bulls, you know, production style, but a little bit even classier. Like all the coaches are in suits, which sometimes it's kind of interesting to see. You know, like guys walk out. You know, these wrestling coaches who, you know, are used to, you know, warm up pants
right.
and polos or something like that. You know, sporting suits, but it's awesome. Like I said, Lombard Montini from up in Chicago is always a power. Last couple of years that I've done it, UFC wrestler or fighter Clay Guida has been one of the guys that walks out with him. So he's a Montini grad. Huh. So
a little intimidation there.
Yeah, you know, whenever you can bring in some, you know, a lot of the time, sometimes they have like a parent do it. I know Blaze Davidson did it whenever Coy was there. A few years ago, so it's a neat experience for sure.
Hillsboro's got a good choice for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they can find somebody.
Yeah,
that might be a little intimidating too. So
that would work.
No, that'd be a lot intimidating.
Probably. Big time,
big man.
Yeah,
with Matt. Yeah,
but like I said, you know, Litchfield program's had a good program. They will continue to have one over the next few years. Like I said, they'll be strong again next year. Hillsboro's program, they didn't have anybody make it to state this year, but had five guys go to sectionals, which was first, you know, the most they've had in a while. So Auburn, Vandalia, around the area have been extremely good. Mount Olive's Max Fritz is up there. I haven't been able to follow him as much. I know he won his first match, so Max may be. I'm not sure of his status right now, but he's a very talented wrestler too. So,
Kyle Horschman joining us in studio from the Journal News in Hillsboro. And hey, how much popcorn did you have to buy
like
a while back?
15 bags.
Oh man,
so not bad, not bad.
That's worth it.
I was happy. You know, like I said, it turned out good. They had a very nice crowd there, so I was glad to see that. And like I said, it's just fun. You know. It's a fun sport to watch. I still, you know, I've been covering it for about 7-8 years now, and I still don't exactly understand all of it, but the intensity level there is second to none. So,
awesome. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we'll switch gears a little bit, talk high school basketball following these messages on WSMI.
Also concerning state tournament competition, Natalie Kopperitz from North Mac High School is in 11th place as an individual in the state bowling tournament at the Cherry Bowl in Rockford after 2 out of 4 rounds. So
awesome.
Good luck to Natalie and on Saturday here today.
That's right. Kay Hirsch joining us in studio, and you found an update on Mr. Fritz.
Yeah, it says Max lost in the semifinals to Greg Krulis of Dakota, who's one of the top wrestlers in class 1A right now. But he will be in the semifinal wrestlebacks, so he is guaranteed to medal. He'll finish no worse than sixth, could be as good as third.
Yeah. And for people like me who know very little about high school wrestling, explain what a wrestleback is.
Wrestlebacks count basically the consolation bracket. Yeah. If you lose, you go back. The only caveat on that is if you lose your first match and the guy that beat you also or loses his second match, then you're done. That's what happened to Bailey Powell at Litchfield. He was beaten in the first round, and then his guy lost his next match. So he didn't get a chance to go through the wrestlebacks, but like I said, it's basically the consolation bracket.
And Bailey, the guy that beat Bailey, got to go back to the wrestleback.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's the situation. If your guy that you lost to loses, then he's into the wrestleback.
Yep,
so.
Absolutely.
Kind of a double elimination.
Exactly.
Consolation bracket thing. So
no consolation brackets in the basketball postseason. No. Unfortunately for Hillsboro and Southwestern, their seasons came to a close on Monday night in that Beardstown sectional. And Camp Point Central goes on. They win that sectional. They got down big to Havana in the title game, came back and I think won by 2 points. But that was a surprising night, at least to me, over there on Monday night. I did not expect both Southwestern and Hillsboro to lose.
But that's why they make you play the ball game.
Absolutely right.
And that's even though we're sad that our local teams lost, but that's how the tournament runs. I mean,
we talk about all
the time. And that's the great thing about the single elimination tournament. Once you're done, you're done. So there's a lot of pressure. And, you know, it was just a tale of, I guess, a game where a lot got, you know, didn't, not much got called, and then in this another game a lot got called.
Well, it was weird because, you know, it's a sectional, obviously, and both semifinals played on the same night, but the two games, they're independent of each other.
Right.
They just happened to be played back to back. But when you sat there and you watched both of them, they could not have been more opposites. Mm-hmm. The first game was like a playground game where if you got arms and legs attached, we're playing on.
Yeah.
The second game, they called 20,000 in the first half. And so, I mean, it was one of those things where it was exact opposites.
Right.
And really, not blaming anything. But
that's just a statement of
Southwestern fact. Needed to play in the game that was called tight. And Hillsboro needed to play in the game that was physical, but it was reversed. And so it just didn't work out for either one of them. But Camp Point Central shot 10 foul shots in the first quarter. I've never seen a team shoot 10 free throws in the first quarter.
And made nine.
Yeah,
so wound up making 28 foul shots for the game. Hillsboro shot 16. It's one of those things to where Camp Point Central, they attacked the rim, and they got so many shooting fouls and where they were fouling on the other end, but a lot of them were more straight defensive fouls. So Hillsborough had a lot of sideline out of bounds opposed to getting to the foul line.
But some great careers were wrapped up. Oh. Maddie Greeling for one for Southwestern, Kelsey Rhodes. You know, a couple of kids that we've followed for years, and Southwestern, kind of strange, you know, the last week of the polls, they got to be the number one team in the state, so kind of had a bullseye on their back.
And think about the way that it worked out for Southwestern in the last 3 years, all sectional semifinal losses, each and every one of them, but Greeley and Rhodes' sophomore year, we know what happened to them in Carlinville, they should have won that game. Then Rhodes gets hurt last year, still somehow managed to win the regional over Carlinville. And then this year they carry that number one ranking into that sectional. And just from the start of that game, it didn't feel right for Southwestern. They weren't shooting the ball well, uncharacteristic turnovers. And it was just early. I think they got down 6-0. And it didn't feel good. Like, you knew Southwestern was in trouble very early in that game.
Yeah.
Well, and it's hard to, like, I think Dave Kane said in an article, you know, it's hard to classify any of those four teams as a Cinderella.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, those were four very talented teams. And I think, you know, there's some surprise on our part, having seen Southwestern, having seen Hillsborough. But, you know, Camp Point Central and Havana are very good teams playing much closer to home than either the Toppers or the Piasau Birds were. So, you know, that's a little bit of an advantage there, just in travel time and things like that. You know, and like I said, you throw in the fact that they're extremely talented. And you know, I don't necessarily know that anybody should be surprised at the result. So,
and both of these teams were ranked, you know, off
8th and 11th.
Yeah,
Havana and Camp Point, respectively.
So, you know, it's not like they were not good teams. They are terrific teams. So
yeah,
and the rankings are, as we've mentioned before, are just something to kind of stir up fan interest. It doesn't really necessarily mean that everybody knows what they're talking
that's
about.
That's right.
Because stupid people like me are allowed to vote in it. Just keeping everybody remember the fact that I would be allowed to vote in it if I wished to. So, you know, it's not take everything with a grain of salt. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That's exactly right. And this is just my opinion, but I think Southwestern lost to the better team. I think Southwestern probably left the gym thinking, you know what, Havana probably just better than us, especially on this night. I don't think Hillsborough had that thought at all walking out of the gym. I think they are the better team. They just didn't win that night. And they had a heartbreaking loss. So we were talking about it off the air. You would much rather get blown out and have no chance. Like, Southwestern never led. They didn't get blown out, but they never led in the game. The Hillsborough game, they had the lead with 20 seconds to go, up by one in the ball.
Yeah.
And got called for a travel, which,
it happens.
Yeah. Well,
it's one of those things.
And unfortunately, you know, a couple of Hillsborough's losses have been like that. You know, whenever they lost to Southwestern, you know, that was a close game that they had an opportunity to win.
The Athens game.
The Athens game was a, you know, double overtime game, I believe, or overtime game. So, you know, they had the opportunity to win that. Still, it doesn't take anything away. Like you said, with Southwestern, with Greeling and Rhodes, you know, Carly Cameron's been a fixture on for Hillsborough over the last 4 years. Mm-hmm. You know, 1,000-point scorer, number 3 scorer in Hillsborough High School history.
She ended up with a great career.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, with a good basketball program. And then, you know, you throw in Lindsey Storm and Maddie Reck, too, who are just glue players, you know. But all three of them have a team-first attitude, you know, and really, really focused on the success of the team over the success of the individual, which is a good a nice thing to have.
Absolutely, and it's not an easy thing to do.
No.
Easy to say, but it's hard to actually carry through with it. And from the Southwestern perspective, I mean, Maddie Greeling, only player ever in Piasau Bird history to score over 2,000 points. And you think about all the great players that have gone through Southwestern.
And they've had some dandies.
I don't think there's really much of an argument that Maddie Greeling's the best basketball player that's ever put on a Southwestern jersey.
You could make that argument pretty easy. Yep.
It really wouldn't be that hard. I mean, you just look at what she did, just pure numbers alone. Mm-hmm. But if you ever watched her play, She was always under control, even as a freshman running the point for the Piasau Bird. She never played like a freshman.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, that's the thing. Maddie was just smart from the get-go.
Yeah.
Basketball smart. And was an exquisite passer. She could thread the needle, and you'd say, okay, how in the heck did, you know, generally you don't want to pass the ball inside the lane, but she could thread the needle to a teammate through the lane, and you're going, whew, that was dangerous, but boy, that was good.
Well, and one of those players, too, that makes her teammates better, not just through the passing, but also makes them pay more attention to the game, because, you know, if you're not paying attention, you're liable to get a basketball inside your head.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. We've seen people do that before.
It happens.
Yeah. Yes, it does happen. So our two local teams in 2A bow out. Litchfield in Class 3A this year.
Showed very well over there, didn't
they?
They
did on the first night. They played pretty well and got a chance to take on Sacred Heart Griffin. And SHG just was kind of cruising along early on. And Litchfield had a short lead early on. And then the switch got flipped. And here comes SHG. But, you know, to be honest with you, late in the ball game, you know, in the fourth quarter there, Litchfield got the lead down to about 10 points, and I think had the basketball. So it was, you know, they were trying to make a run at it. So.
The Central State 8 found out what we already knew.
Abby Brockmeyer, best player in the area.
Absolutely, hands down.
Best player in that tournament, I'm telling you right now, hands down. and several comments from SHG people to me exactly saying that.
Yeah, and Abby's, you know, if she can remain healthy, you know, we'll be challenging for the, you know, you talk about Maddie Greeland going for 2,000 points. Abby could be right in that area as well.
She over 1,600 now?
1,643 right now.
Yeah.
That's where she's at.
Yeah, and over 1,000 rebounds for her career as well.
That's almost more impressive than the points, I think.
Yeah, and you know, like I said, she has mostly done it from inside the arc. You know, she can step out and hit a three if she needs to, but you don't see it as much, and she doesn't really need to. On this year's Litchfield team, you know, they had some other players like Anna Tomach and Abby Frericks who finished their careers this year, had career years, both of them well over doubled what they had scored in the previous 3 years. So
Helen Vargo had a good year for Litchfield shooting the ball too.
Absolutely, you know, Helen has the opportunity, you know, to come in and knock down a three.
Oh, yeah.
Just a fun player to watch too. So, you know, but like I said, Abby is Abby's a special talent. You know, she's to me, I didn't get a chance to see some of the Hillsboro teams whenever they won their state championship. But she's a different player than, like, whenever I was watching Venetia Waterman or Molly McDowell. You know, she's more of a – she could be point forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she handles the ball extremely well, rebounds extremely well, you know, very good post-inside moves, and can shoot the ball from the outside.
Yeah.
So that's very tough to stop.
And you can limit the conversation just to Montgomery County. That's quite – a list. If you're going to make the top five female basketball players in the history of Montgomery County, that's a tough list to crack. And T, you've seen about as much, if not more, than anybody.
She's there.
She's there.
Oh, yeah. She's there. Absolutely.
Yeah, and it's hard to compare, like, her and Venetia and her and Molly because Molly, to me, Molly was more like a Maddie Greeling or, you know, or vice versa. You know, I mean, Molly was just pure.
Molly could will the team to a win.
Yeah.
She just had that ability to will the team to a win.
Yeah.
And it was an amazing. And some great players around her. I mean, you know, those teams were just. You had the right people in the right spots. Mm-hmm. And, you know, gosh, it was exciting.
It was fun.
It was fun. Yeah. It was a blast. But Abby's right there with him. Absolutely.
She would be the third player in the county to score 2,000 if she gets there behind Initial Waterman and Molly McDowell.
Yeah.
And I think that's girls and boys.
Yeah.
That's pretty good company.
Yeah.
That'll work.
In fact, that's real good company.
Yeah. And
that's really good company.
As just purely selfish alumni.
Yeah.
With Terry and I, it would be the second Lincolnwood player to own a scoring record at a different school. So it's just
that's, you know, Kyle Herschelman.
Yeah.
Send those letters to the Journal News.
Absolutely.
It's just true though.
It's true. You're right. It's right. It's right.
It's
and it's great to, you know, it's great for the programs, when they had the co-ops and everything. It's good to see that cooperation.
So. Well, and whenever, you know, I know there's probably some grumblings about Litchfield being 3A due to the co-op, but, you know, a lot of their success this year has been due to the Lincolnwood kids. So, you know, you can say what you want about being 3A because of the co-op, but
I think it's easier to swallow when your best player comes from the co-op.
It was fun to watch those 3A regional games because the tempo is a little bit more more up tempo, a lot more physical, I think, than what we see a lot of times in 1A and 2A. So, just a little bit different type of.
And even though by seeds, you know, Litchfield was supposed to win that quarterfinal game, that's still, to me, a very impressive quality win to go into a 3A regional up in Springfield and get a W.
And shut them out the first quarter.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, hold them scoreless in Springfield, you know, in the first quarter. Yeah. You know, it kind of sets the tone for the tournament. Like, you know, we're not going to be a pushover.
And, you know, and even though they lost to SHG, they didn't quit playing. You know, they played, and they played hard. And SHG was not a bad team. They lost to Springfield High for the regional championship. But Springfield High has been, you know, ranked pretty high in the state polls lately. So
we'll see if they wind up 3A again next year because it was a handful of kids that put them over four
kids.
But, so. I mean, with all the you know, girls' basketball programs consolidating and co-oping, I could very well see them staying 3A.
Or absolutely. Hopefully they just took the enrollment numbers maybe on a week when the flu bug was going through school. Either way, you know.
Manipulation, is that what you're saying?
No, they were just sick.
Oh, okay.
They were sick.
Four transcripts can get lost. That's not an anomaly.
It happens all the time.
Yeah.
It happens all the time. It's paperwork.
Such
we got
a
lot
small
of paperwork.
Number. Yeah.
We need a break here on Sports Saturday. We'll come back in a moment.
Finding Illini basketball coming up tomorrow afternoon at 5:30 as the Illini play at Wisconsin. We'll have it for you right here on WSMI-FM 106.1.
And they didn't need three overtimes to beat Rutgers last time. They crushed them. How about that? Yeah.
It's like their first double-digit win in a while.
Oh, boy, did they need that.
Well, they got a new AD, too.
They did?
They did, yeah. Mm. Alum.
Mm-hmm.
Football player, I think.
Yep. Yeah. They had a video of him scoring touchdowns.
Multiple?
That they released, yeah. It's like, hey.
Way to go.
Our athletic director scored touchdowns 10 years ago.
He'll be there for a few years.
Yeah.
And then he won't. That's just the way that it goes.
New broom sweeps clean.
Are you comfortable now if you're John Gross that you have an AD, or are you still nervous?
Oh, I doubt he's comfortable.
Yeah.
I doubt it.
Well, we were talking, I think it was last week, that we thought if he didn't have a new AD, that his job would be in more jeopardy.
Not that Gross is necessarily a bad coach, because I don't think he's a bad coach, but it's all about the recruiting.
Yeah.
It all boils down to the recruiting. How are you going to recruit?
Yeah. And it's hard to recruit when you're not winning, and the fact that he had so many injuries this year, he's not going to win this year, obviously, and who knows?
Yeah.
Kyle Hirschman joining us in studio. How are the North Dakota State Bison and Dylan Miller doing?
Doing pretty well. They've lost a couple close games. Summit League is just brutal. I mean, like, all the teams are right at the same level. Dylan's scoring, you know, like I said, not a ton of points, but still starting, still getting quite a few minutes, you know, 15 to 20 minutes a game.
That's great.
So I believe they have senior night tonight. Corey Brown, who is from up in the Chicago area, I believe, and Chris Kading, who has probably the best beard game on the Bison, nicknamed Big Velvet.
Ooh,
yeah,
that's solid.
Yeah, it's a good nickname. So, like I said, only two seniors on that team, though, so a lot of young talent on there. They should be fun to watch, and you never know if the Summit League tournament comes up in South Dakota in a few weeks, and
they've made it back-to-back years.
It'd be nice.
It would be.
Yeah. And that like tournament, that generally is on ESPN.
Yeah, I believe so. I think that's one of the ones that ESPN follows.
That's
so.
One of the bigger mid-major conferences around.
Yeah, it seems like it's a league that's growing. Like, you know, like the A-10 had a few years ago. Like, it had been growing in popularity. The Summit's doing that.
Yeah,
now.
They have Western Illinois from around here. Mm-hmm. Ooey-pooey, IUPUI, and teams like Omaha, Oral Roberts, South Dakota, North Dakota, or South Dakota State, North Dakota. So some really good mid-major mid-major teams in there.
Yeah. So. A year ago, Dylan was getting ready to play in the Vandalia Regional.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Now here he is starting for a D1 club that's been in the big dance the last 2 years.
Yeah, it's been a...
What a great story.
You can tell it's a good experience for him, and they do things right up there. Yeah. They have a very family-oriented basketball program. Coach Richmond's does a really good job, and we've really enjoyed following him.
We'll have to talk to him after his season's over.
There you go.
Yeah, see if we can get him on.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Would be
great. Dave just signed up. There you go. Okay.
He's got it.
I got.
If you're listening,
Dave is our R&D department here.
I have the contact info for the SID or the assistant SID at North Dakota State.
Well, see, that's the thing, David. Now that he's a D1 athlete, it's not just as simple as going straight to Dylan Miller. You got to go through the channels. You got to go through the SID. He's got to set it up through the school. This is how it works. He's big time now.
Yeah,
so there's a chance he could
It's not like you're dealing with people in the middle of a cornfield like us.
That's right.
Okay.
No, you're dealing with people in the middle of the frozen tundra.
There's corn under here somewhere.
That's what one of their players tweeted something about. Go, oh, survive. He was from California. He goes, survived my first winter, and one of the guys goes, you're not done yet, buddy. So.
And I don't think we're done yet either.
No, probably not. Well, coming up next week, of course, boys regionals for 1A and 2A. And once again, we're going to get Litchfield and Hillsboro in a regional quarterfinal. It'll be Monday night, 6 o'clock here on FM 106, followed by Gillespie and Carlinville at 7:30. And David had the numbers last week, but it is staggering the number of years now that Litchfield and Hillsboro have squared off.
I think it's the fifth straight year that they're going to face, and 7 out of 8.
It's going to be an interesting game, too. I mean, you know, Hillsboro is... A tad mercurial is what I would go with.
Nice. Journalism.
Wordsmith.
Just happened here.
Spell it without spell check. Never mind. I don't want to embarrass myself any more than I already do. But, you know, Hillsboro scored a big win over Roxana last night. You know, I mean, they have the ability to go out and beat almost anybody on any time, but then, you know, I mean, and Southwestern is a very, very good ball team, but they, you know, handled Hillsboro really well. So I think it just depends on matchups and depends on how it goes, you know, during the regular season or during the postseason. So, like I said, if they get big games from Donovan Moore and Steven Fenske, you know, they can knock down anybody.
Yeah. They got off to such a great start in league play. I think we're 4-0 in the conference heading into the Litchfield Invitational. Mm-hmm. And then once that tournament started, they kind of went on a little bit of a slide.
Yeah, absolutely. So it'll be interesting. And Litchfield's got a good team too. They've had some struggles up and down this season, but they've played some really good games too, you know. So
Litchfield has baffled me this year. You know, they basically play all seniors.
Yeah.
And yet so up and down.
Yeah,
it's not basketball anymore.
It's hard to put your finger on. I mean, and they got so many kids that can score too. I mean, they got, you know, Josh Franke hit 1,000 points earlier this season. Connor Simmons hit 1,000 points last night at North Mac, which a cool moment is. Grandfather, 100 years old, in the stands for the event. So, wow. Coach Jason Cooper had told me that before the game. So, you know, really, really neat thing for Connor, I'm sure. Cooper Scharf, well over 900 points, had dealt with some injuries and some up and down things, you know, this season. Or else he would probably be at 1,000 as well. So, you know, they got guys that can put the ball through the hoop. I mean, and that's not even to mention David Seaball and Zach Skinner. But it hasn't seemed like everything's quite come together the way they would like to.
And just like any other sport, and we've seen this with the Cardinals getting hot late in the season, if you're not hot going into the postseason, sometimes you can have a great team and still not be – you know, reaping the success that you would normally think because you're just not hot.
Yeah. I mean,
it's about when things come together. So.
We were talking earlier about the great careers that Maddie Greeling had for Southwestern and Carly Cameron had for Hillsboro. From the Litchfield boys' perspective, you're talking about Cooper Scharf and Connor Simmons, who have been stellar standouts for 4 years running at Litchfield. And, you know, a lot of it, I think they get overlooked a lot of times because maybe they haven't had some of the big wins or some of the deep postseason runs. But those two young men have had really good careers for Litchfield.
Yeah, and you don't see a whole lot, I mean, of teams that have 2,000-point scores. And I mean, like I said, Cooper will come up just a little bit short, it looks like. But, you know, I mean, it's a pretty impressive thing to have two classmates do it. You know, I mean, that shows that they've been key parts of the program ever since, you know, they came into high school. So and Connor actually didn't play varsity as a freshman.
Right.
So, I mean, he's done it all in the last 3 years, which really, is even more impressive.
Really kind of the last two, because while he played his sophomore year, I mean, that was probably that was a really deep Litchfield team where they had about 8 or 9 guys playing consistently every night, and he was kind of buried on the bench.
Yeah,
still got playing time, but was not as much as his other teammates.
You know, and he has the ability to come out and score, you know, 20, 25
right.
points a game. It was earlier this year against Southwestern. He just went off, you know, and he has the ability to get to the hoop. He has the ability to shoot some threes. And you know, and that can become key in the postseason whenever they're taking on Hillsboro. If they get hot from outside the arc, you know, they could do a lot of damage. And Cooper just – He's kind of another one of those matchup problems. You know, he's rangy. He can get in and do some rebounding.
He's kind of taken on the role of point forward as well.
Exactly. Well, I think that's a good description.
And that's probably what they've been missing this year is that true point guard, because Cooper has had to do a lot of the primary ball handling, and he can do it. And he's almost played all five positions over his time for Litchfield.
Yeah, and remember, his career as a starter got off because of the injury to Ryan Howard, because he wouldn't have started his sophomore year had Ryan been healthy, and then Ryan went down in football, so Cooper got thrust into the starting lineup and really showed well as a sophomore and has been a starter ever since.
Never looked back.
Yeah.
Wally Pipp.
Yeah. Now, that's Hillsboro-Litchfield. That's the first game from Greenville. The second game will be another rivalry, Gillespie and Carlinville.
Yeah,
that'll be fun, too.
That will be, because, you know, Carlinville, once again, they just got so many athletes on the floor at all times. You know, maybe not the quote-unquote just pure basketball player, but they've always got five athletes on the floor. And Joe Bates, the ability to throw the ball down on the block to Joe, he's got that soft touch. He can get you those easy buckets. That'll be a really interesting game because, of course, Gillespie does it from the perimeter with the guard play.
Yeah, the Price brothers have had the opportunity to see them play, you know, quite a bit over the last few years, and just lights out.
Fun.
You know, fun. You know, not a team that I cover, but, you know, one that I get to see quite a bit. And just really, and you know, whenever they're on, they're a lot of fun to watch.
Well, would you say Carlinville has the same struggles as Litchfield with, like, the lack of the true point guard to run the offense?
Well, they've got Xavier Dunlap back this year. You know, he runs the point for him pretty good. Carlinville, I don't know that they shoot the ball consistently well. I mean, they've been in a lot of games this year. I mean, there have not been very many nights where Carlinville's gotten blown out of the gym. You know, there's been a lot of fourth quarters where Carlinville was in striking distance to get the win, and it hasn't happened for them. But that'll be a tough matchup on Monday night in that quarterfinal for Gillespie matching up with Carlinville. Remember, they played in the Macoupin County Tournament, and that game came down to the wire. The Miners were fortunate to get out of there with the win. So we'll see what happens on Monday night. We'll have those games live here on FM 106 beginning at 6 o'clock and streaming at WSMIRadio.com. We need a break. We'll come back with more Sports Saturday following these messages.
Don't forget Fighting Illini basketball coming up tomorrow at 5:30 as the Illini play at Wisconsin. We'll have it for you right here on WSMI FM 106.1.
You know, T, there was a time when Illinois played well at Wisconsin,
yes,
up there in the Kohl Center, when no one else in the country could win. Illinois had a nice little run of successful outings there. That was a while ago, though.
That's been a while.
Well, one Illinois school won up there this year.
That's right.
Western Illinois did. Then they have been not good since. Western Illinois.
Look, like, if you had to rank, like, just all the teams, D1 college basketball in the state of Illinois, the Fighting Illini are going to be at the bottom
right now
of
that
list.
Probably. Because SIU would be number one right now, the way they're playing. Anthony Bean having a career year, senior year. They have a real shot at making the tournament if they can keep it up.
The Valley Tournament will be coming up in St. Louis here in a couple of, that's always the week before
the
big conference. So it's probably the same week as the Summit. The Summit
League tournament. I would assume so, or close to it. Sometimes they kind of stagger stuff. So,
yeah.
because the Espens.
It's whatever the TV guys want to do.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Got to get every game on. Right.
Is that at the Scottrade or is it the Dome?
Scottrade.
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 They could play it at the Dome now. It's not being used for anything else.
They have go-kart races there.
Okay.
I'm not kidding.
I believe it, yeah. They'll have all sorts of stuff.
They're having indoor racing. They're talking about tearing it down, though.
The Dome?
That was one of the proposals. They said that they need to renovate the space, and one of the proposals was to tear down the Dome.
They've still got $144 million left to pay off, I think.
No details.
Details.
If you tear it down, nobody can
make you pay for it.
They can. $144 million for this dome. What dome?
What are you talking about? There's nothing here.
There's nothing here. I don't know what you're talking about.
It never existed. It was never there.
Well, I guess they're talking about there's going to be an MLS team.
Trying to.
Sounds like it.
Trying to.
It's gaining a lot of steam.
They need ownership.
Yeah.
That's the main problem.
Well, they've just put together a committee to find that ownership, too.
Yeah. Committees are awesome.
Yeah, they always work out, don't they?
Committees are great. But
not only do they need ownership, but they need ownership that has a commitment to win like the Cardinals have.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's going to stay viable, you've got to have success. You know, look at what Kansas City's done in MLS. Mm-hmm. So
that was the knock on Kroenke, was that he didn't care about winning. One of the many knocks on Kroenke, I should say.
I don't think he does.
He doesn't. He doesn't care about winning. Clearly, I mean, look at all of the all of the organizations that he owns, Arsenal being the exception.
Yeah, which he probably doesn't even know he owns it.
No,
they hate him. Apparently, the Arsenal fans hate him.
Yeah, a lot of people hate him.
If you're if you're like that European soccer, kind of a big deal.
Yes.
You know, they kind of take it seriously over there. And
they do.
Yeah, you know, if you've got like a rich American billionaire who owns your team and he's just never really around, I bet that really wouldn't happen.
Well, actually, you know, for Arsenal, they may not like him, but Arsenal is number four in the table. Yeah. Aston Villa has a rich American owner. And they're number 20 in the table, which means they'll probably get relegated.
Yeah.
So if you think the Arsenal fans are mad, yeah.
And
love the relegation.
Oh, I think that's great. And I've said this for years that Major League Baseball ought to do this, you know, bring up the top four AAA teams and relegate the bottom four teams in Major
League
Baseball.
My bosses at work have been bringing that up, and I may get relegated to the Bunker Hill paper.
Oh, no. I'm so sorry. So sorry.
I hear you could do a story on the scoreboard.
Oh, boy. When I was at Bunker Hill on Tuesday, and Steve Moore came up to me. He was there watching the ball game. He said, "Hey, did they put you in charge of the scoreboard tonight?" I said, "Unfortunately not. Unfortunately not." Turns out it was kids doing it, just having a good time.
Yeah.
Oh, those youngsters and their shenanigans.
Yeah. Good thing you never did anything like that, Tim, when you were there.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. I would never do such a thing. Never do such a thing. It was quite humorous to me. I found it funny.
Oh, yeah.
Saba wasn't even on the board.
Yeah.
Not even there. Who needs him?
And by the way, we were talking about regional tournaments. And, of course, Nokomis is hosting a 1A regional. They'll be at home. Lincolnwood heads to Edinburgh.
Both those teams are the top seed in their respective regionals. Mm-hmm. Lincolnwood will either get New Berlin or I can't remember who they play now.
Edinburgh.
New Berlin or Edinburgh. Both mm-hmm. the teams who they've beat twice mm-hmm. During the season, once during the regular season, once during tournament play. They beat New Berlin at the Well, actually, I guess New Berlin was twice during tournament play. They beat them at Waverly and New Berlin tournament. And then Edinburgh, they beat them during the regular season.
How is that to see a team possibly three times in a season and you don't even share the same conference?
Yeah, that's an
not
interesting
even really
go.
The same area.
And Nokomis will get the winner of the Old Call Valley and Mulberry Grove on Tuesday night.
They have wins over both of those teams. Well, I take that back. I don't think they have a win over Old Call Valley. Hillsborough beat Old Call Valley earlier this season. Mm-hmm. But they have a win over Mulberry Grove from the Morrisonville tournament.
And so. Southwestern plays Staunton in the opening game Monday night at the Trenton Westglen Regional. So, and North Mac will play Beardstown at Pleasant Plains. So,
Lincolnwood, of course, got off to such a great start. Played over there at Waverly. Brian Graham got hurt late in that Waverly tournament. Karish, how is he back? Close to 100% now?
Yeah, just from the looks of him, he's played a lot better recently. He's looked a lot more comfortable recently. They're a different team whenever he's on the floor. Yeah. But, You know, they also have the ability to score in other options. You know, I mean, Seth Foster, very good three-point shooter. But whenever Brian's on the floor and slashing, and he's done that the last few games more.
Yeah. They rotate really well, too, with their players.
Yes, they do.
Milberg rotates really well. He plays about 8 or 9 kids.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of guys see the floor. They have some pretty good young talent, too, and sophomore Ryan Pogonpole, who's been kind of a JV all-star, you know, and Matthew Mazzara, who's
a tower.
Yeah, tall kid. Not very thick yet, but he's tall kid. He's had some really good games earlier this season too. So, but you know, you feel bad that Brian lost so many games. I mean,
that was such a great year.
Yeah, yeah. Just, I mean, averaging over 20 points a game and just playing really well. And he still is now. So I'm glad he was able to come back and be at least close to 100% toward the end of the year.
I couldn't tell he was hurt against Litchfield, the game that I did. I couldn't tell. Obviously, he didn't score as much as he would have prior to the injury, but I didn't even notice.
Well, Brian's the kind of kid, though, he doesn't have to necessarily score. It's good when he scores, don't get me wrong, but he can.
Well, that's kind of the way it started out in the season. Like, he was the primary scorer as the season started out, and then he went
down.
They needed
him to be that.
Yeah.
And the thing is, he can't, like Terry said, he can, you know, create, and he's such a good ball handler. He doesn't give up the... You know, he doesn't commit a whole lot of turnovers. You know, I think there's been some rust coming back. I think that's part of it. But, you know, they have guys that can, you know, they have an inside-outside game, you know, just with him. Because and the really impressive thing with him is he has the ability to get to the basket, get fouled, and make the basket, you know, and get the opportunity for the three-point play. He can draw contact and still keep himself under control.
Very confident player, too.
Yeah, very confident. And just a fun player to watch. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, like I said, Seth Foster, Josh Bermuda can hit from outside. So they'll be a interesting team to watch in the regional.
Fun time of year. Yeah, March Madness.
And then Nokomis is... You know,
Nokomis.
They've got St. Anthony on the bottom side of the bracket. So
yeah, they'll have some challenges, yeah. But you know, they have the benefit of
being at home,
and also being Nokomis.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's a big one there.
That's a big one.
You know, I mean, Braden Sobel had a career game the other night. You know, 28 points. He hadn't scored more than 17 in his career up to that point. Reed Detmers is, you know, closing in on 1,000 points in his junior year. He'll probably hit it early next year. You know, Andrew Herbstreit does not score a lot.
Doesn't have to.
He's my
steady.
He's one of my favorite players to watch. Yeah. You know, he just, yeah, you know, does it. He's, you know, kind of, like I said, the straw that stirs the drink. Yeah. So
you look at that eighth grade team that just got what they.
They made it to state
tournament.
Yeah.
There's a Herbstreit, the Detmers, and a Sobel on that
team. Yeah, Herbstreit, Detmers, and Sobel on that team as well. So,
when's the last time there wasn't a Herbstreit on the Nokomis roster?
It's been a while.
Tyler would have been an eighth grader. Tyler graduated what 2 years ago? So,
yeah, something like that. Yeah.
So it's been quite a run for the Herbstreit family. So it was kind of like the Bertolinos there for a while too. So
used to be the Benties in Carlinville.
Yep, there you go.
Happens. Small towns. Gotta love it. We are out of time here on WSMI Sports Saturday. Of course, we'll have regional basketball beginning Monday night. Check the website, WSMIRadio.com, for the schedules and broadcast times. Kyle, thanks for coming in today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Kay Hirsch from the Journal News. For David Jenkins, T-Tote, I'm Tim Mize. Sports Saturday is done on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois. This is WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville, the station you can count on.